Hello, race fans, and welcome back to episode 4 of the DFS NASCAR podcast. I'm Chris Drell. I'm your full-time contributor here at Daily Fantasy Sports Rankings, covering NHL, MLB, NFL, PGA, and of course NASCAR. This week, NASCAR's two highest series traveled to ISM Raceway, previously Phoenix Raceway, for the DC Solar 200 in the Xfinity Series and the Ticket Guardian 500 in the Monster Energy Cup Series. Before digging into this week, let's take a look back at the Las Vegas results, starting with the Xfinity Series, where fading Kyle Busch at $15,000 turned out to be the play, as he didn't end up leading any laps and finished 14th after a late pit road penalty. The top play last week was Kyle Larson, who led 142 laps and winning the race, good for 115 DK points. Ryan Blaney finished second in DraftKings scoring with 67.8 points as he led 33 laps and finished fourth in the race. The top two Xfinity regulars last week were Christopher Bell, who finished second and scored 52.5 DraftKings points, and Justin Allgaier finished third and scored 55 DraftKings points. Over on the Cup Series side of things, Kevin Harvick won his second straight race in dominating fashion, leading 214 laps for 132.5 DraftKings points. Wasn't without controversy, however, as the number 4 team received a huge penalty this week as they were found to be in violation of two rules, which were the rear window support. As you may have seen on Twitter, the pictures were all over the place. Kind of had a little bow in that back window, as well as the rocker panel extension was found to be made of steel rather than the required aluminum. This didn't affect fantasy outcomes, but they did lose 20 driver and owner points, as well as the 7 playoff points they earned during that race. Tough to tell how that's going to affect them until it comes down to playoff time. You know, if Harvick was to lose out one of the first couple rounds, you know, by less than 7 playoff points, that could be a huge penalty in the long run. But like I said, it's going to be tough to tell until we get to that time. He's already locked into the playoffs, as he did win Atlanta as well. Rounding out the top 5 in Las Vegas in the Cup Series were Kyle Busch, Kyle Larson, Martin Truex Jr., and Ryan Blaney. The other big story continues to be the Chevy camp, which is still struggling to find speed, as Kyle Larson was the only one inside the top 10 this past week, after he and Chase Elliott were the only ones inside the top 10 in Atlanta on the first two non-restrictor plate tracks this season. With the penalty to the number 4 in Kevin Harvick, Joey Logano has taken over the points lead this year, and while he has yet to win a race, he's been very consistent. He's the only driver to finish in top 10 in all three races so far this season. From a fantasy standpoint, last week's winning lineup in the 400K track record consisted of Dominator Kevin Harvick and four drivers, Buescher, Almirola, Newman, and Kyle Busch, who all had double-digit place differential points. And then the last driver in that winning lineup was 9% owned Erik Jones, who finished 8th in the race. Moving on to this week, we'll take a look at the track, ISM Raceway, previously Phoenix Raceway. It's a 1 mile tri-oval short track, last repaved in 2011, and had some big changes to both ends of the track. Turns 1 and 2 are listed at 10 to 11 degrees of banking, while turns 3 and 4 are 8 to 9 degrees of banking. It's got a big dog leg on the back stretch, lots of passing opportunities there, can get crazy going into turn 3, and it also presents a bit of a challenge having, you know, two different ends of the track for setting up the car when it comes to the crew chief, car chief, so that the car can run good on both ends of the track, and really makes for some exciting racing here. Also, big news here at ISM Raceway is the construction is currently underway, $178 million project, and the most notable changes for racing are going to be right where the new grandstands are going to be in turn 2. They're going to be moving the start-finish line there in the November race, which is the last race before the finale at Homestead. This is going to be very interesting, as the restart zone will now be in a turn. It'll be the first one in NASCAR where the complete restart zone is going to be in that turn. Then going into that dogleg, the backstretch, it's going to be some amazing restarts happen here. So it'll be looking forward to that in the fall. So this is actually the last race in this configuration right now. So looking at the Xfinity Series this week, we have four Cup drivers led by Kyle Busch, who again comes at a giant price tag at $14,300. Not far behind is Brad Keselowski at $13,000, Jamie McMurray at $10,900, and Ty Dillon at $10,100. Those round out the Cup drivers this week. From a strategy standpoint, it'll definitely come down to qualifying and practice, as fading, you know, whether to fade Kyle Busch or not again this week. So he's a little bit cheaper, $700 cheaper than last week, but he's a little more dominating here at Phoenix ISM Raceway. He's raced here 3 times in the last 3 years in the Xfinity Series, and he's won all three races. and led 555 laps in that time. So he started from the pole twice, and then he started from third once the other time there. So definitely pay attention to practices. I believe practice one just wrapped up for the Xfinity Series, and Kyle was second right behind Christopher Bell. Brad Keselowski raced here in those same three races, two in 2016, one in 2015. He finished ninth twice and was runner-up once, so he may be the one to fade here this week, depending on practice times, of course. It is a new year. So looking at the top three Xfinity regulars in this race, we got Justin Allgaier at 9,400. He won the spring race here last year, leading 85 laps, and has also finished top five in three of his last four races here, and top 10 in each of his last four races. So he'd be one to target as well in that 9K range for an Xfinity driver. Elliott Sadler, 9,700, a little more expensive this week. He's the most expensive Xfinity Series regular. He's actually going to be going to a backup car. He crashed, he blew an engine in the first practice, so he'll be going to the back of the field. So he may be one to target for place differential points. Definitely going to want to watch second practice, but it's a very good chance he's going to be top 10 in that final practice here coming up right away. So he'll be definitely a target. If you're fading the Cup guys, you're going to want him for place differential points, or you want to pair him with one of the Cup regulars for a high upside stack. Christopher Bell rounds out that 9K range. He is the third most expensive Xfinity regular. He's raced here once, finished top five, didn't lead any laps, picked up 47.5 DK points. He was also fastest in first practice. He's been fast all year in the Xfinity Series, so he'll be one to look out for as well. Pay attention to final practice there. As for the rest of the plays, qualifying is going to be, you know, paint a lot better picture who's going to be the top plays. So you're going to want to make sure to check out my Xfinity Series cheat sheet. You can find it on my Twitter feed. You can find it at dfsr.com. You can email me. You can best to just reach out to me on Twitter. I can share that with you. It'll be updated following both practices on Friday. Qualifying comes on Saturday. And just a heads up that qualifying, you got about 2 hours between the qualifying time tomorrow and the start of the race. And I will have that updated with my model, as well as I'm going to be adding a tab with some of my top plays. So be sure to check that out. Over on the Cup Series, from a strategy standpoint, Dominator points are going to be big here again this week, as at least one driver has led 130 or more laps, and at least two drivers have led over 50 laps in five of the last six races here at Phoenix. Place differential is always also going to be a key, maybe not as big, but as we've seen last week, four drivers out of the six in the winning lineup had double-digit place differential. And at least four drivers here have had double-digit place differential in five of the last six races. Kevin Harvick tops the salary this week at 11.4, a little bit cheaper than he was here last year, but he comes back with one win in the last 2 years, with three top fives in those four races, all four finishes inside the top 10. And for his career in 30 races, he's got 8 wins, 14 top fives, and 19 top tens, 1,484 laps led. No other driver's got over 1,000 laps led here. Second would be Jimmy Johnson at 990 laps led. So he's averaged over in his last six races 91.7 DK points per race, which is about 25 points more than Kyle Busch, who's second in that zone. Kyle Busch would be my second guy I'm looking at this week before we see qualifying and the final practices on Saturday. In his last four races here, which is 2 years, he's got three top fives and four top tens, and him and Harvick are the only two that have those numbers, three top fives and four top tens in the last four races. He's actually led more laps than Harvick in the last 2 years, 189, which is second to only Denny Hamlin and Alex Bowman, who's led 194. Now, Alex Bowman down at 7,900. You may want to proceed with caution just because the Chevys have, you know, shown a little bit of struggle. But when he filled in 2016 in the fall race for Dale Earnhardt Jr., he led 194 laps and finished with the top 10 here. So he does have some experience. So it might not be a bad value play, but you're going to want to pay attention to the final practices on Saturday for sure. And, you know, getting a little bit of place differential with Alex Bowman would be nice at that $7,900 price tag. Back to Kyle Busch. He's only won here once in his career in 25 races, but he's got 17 top 10s in those 25 races and averaging 65.8 DraftKings points per race over his last six here. Another driver I'm looking at this week before we see any qualifying, Ryan Newman. He won this race here last year in the spring, and he's, you know, that was his only top 10 in the last four races, so he's kind of been up and down when it comes here, but he does have two career wins here, 10 top 5s and 12 top 10s in 31 races. It's only an average of 38 DK points in his last six races just because he's been up and down. But he has had success here. He feels comfortable here. You listen to him in interviews. This is definitely a track that he likes, and he's only 7,700 this week. It is a season high for him, but under 8K, I think that's a good value. Eric Almirola is going to be another one to look at this week. With Ryan Newman being so good here over his career, I think Almirola may be a little bit under-owned at $400 more. He is in a Ford, which is nice. The Fords have been running good this year. And Almirola has finishes of 11th, 13th, and 10th so far this year. So he's been really consistent, and he is averaging 48.6 DraftKings points per race so far this year, which is a positive. And if he's going to be a little bit lower owned at 8,100, I think he makes a good mid-range play. Down in the low 7K range, a driver we maybe want to pay attention to this week is Paul Menard. He's also in a new car this year, in the number 21 for the Wood Brothers. He has two top 10s so far this year. He's averaging 39.6 DraftKings points in his first three races this year. He hasn't had the most success here, with only three top 10s in 22 races here at Phoenix. But at 7,300, I think he could be a good value if he shows some speed in final practices, and even better if he gives us some place differential value this week. And then on the lower end, one driver that sticks out to me right now is Ty Dillon. He struggled to start the year with finishes of 39th, 26th, and 24th in that number 13 car. But looking at his statistics here at ISM Raceway Phoenix, he has finishes of 11th, 16th, and 15th since the start of 2016. In the number 14 for Stuart Haas in 2016, and then last year in the number 13 for Jermaine Racing, that 11th and 16th. So he does have some upside, and he's only 6,400 this week, so definitely pay attention to that car as well. That wraps up the podcast for this week. Like I said, make sure to check my DFS NASCAR cheat sheets, both for the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. They will be updated following all practices and qualifying, and be sure to check back. You'll see the link on my Twitter page, as well as my DFSR NASCAR preview article of my YouTube video following final practices for the Cup Series on Saturday, going over all my top picks, looking at dominators, place differential, and the value picks. And then again on that Cup Series and Xfinity cheat sheet, there's going to be another tab added with my favorite plays as well. And if you have any questions, you can hit me up in the DFSR chat room, hit me up in the comments of my article, YouTube video comments, as well as you can hit me up on Twitter at Jaeger_bombs9. Thanks for listening. Thanks for reading the articles, and let's get some green screens this week.